Good morning again, Belmont. My name is Wes. I am one of the elders here at Belmont. This is my beautiful wife, Whitney, and this is my five, almost six-month-old son, Winston. Say hey, Winston. Hey, we want to welcome you here to this place in this hour for this very, very special occasion. If it's your first time, we're especially glad you have chosen to join us here. We are honored. It is our privilege to serve you guys this morning. If you didn't know, today is a very special day because this is the day that Christians celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And again, in case you were wondering, my family and I, we represent Team Jesus. That's right. So I'm the captain. I'm the captain of the team. Whitney's the co-captain. Jesus Christ is our coach. And Winston here, he's the X Factor. A little secret I learned from Pastor John, if you include your kids in anything you do, it increases your chances for success tenfold. So this is a pretty big day, so I've got my X Factor with me. All right, Winston, don't let me down, son. Hey, so as I was preparing for the message this morning, I decided to ask Whitney why she thought people would show up to church today. And so what I'd like to do is replay that conversation for you guys now. So, Whitney, what are some of the reasons you would say that people come up to church on Easter Sunday?
Number one answer, there's usually food.
Spoiler alert, there is no food at Belmont. just putting that out there.
Well, people get to dress up.
Yes, and by the way, you all look amazing. As a matter of fact, turn to your neighbor right now and say, you look amazing.
You look amazing.
Yeah. Husbands, y'all can thank me for that later. What else we got?
Somebody made me come.
True.
And then there's also that it's a defining moment and point for Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
It's sentimental. People love the story of Jesus' resurrection.
Right.
And then just, it's an interesting message.
All valid reasons. Mm-hmm. So this morning, I'd like for you to ask yourself this question. Why did you come to church this morning? Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you so much for this day. We thank you for the resurrection of Christ. Lord, I just pray for everyone represented here, all the families, the children, I ask that you would open our hearts and our minds to be receptive of your word this morning. Father God, move me out of the way. All glory belongs to you. All glory goes to you. Nothing that I say or do is going to be effective unless you are backing me, which I know you are, Father God. I ask that you just pour your spirit out on this place, more powerful than you ever have before. We need you. We trust you. We love you. And it's in Jesus' mighty name I pray. And everyone said, amen. So why did you come to church this morning? If you don't already have that answer in your head, I want you to take a moment, think about it. And in the meantime, if you have your Bibles, please open them up. Let's turn to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. We'll be going through verses 1 through 18 this morning. If you're new here to Belmont, we take the time to examine the Word of God chapter by chapter, verse by verse. We're currently in a series called Believe and Have Life. If you were here last week, they actually had it up on the sign here, but they took my sign down. So that's a little plug for next week, Love Your Neighbor series. But believe and have life, this will no doubt be the crux of today's message. We've read through John. We've heard through the story of Jesus, his crucifixion, his death, his burial, and the significance of each of these moments. So if you're taking notes today, and I would encourage you to, the title of the message today is, I Have Seen the Lord. I have seen the Lord. And there are three things I want you to walk away with understanding this morning. One, why the resurrection is true. Two, why your response to this message is so important. 3, how this message applies to your life today and always. John chapter 20, if you're there, I'm going to have my co-captain come back up. She's going to help me read through this story. John chapter 20, beginning in verse 1. Now, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've laid him." So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying there and the face cloth, which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes.
But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. And as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and saw to him and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her.
So I'm sure, as we read through that, Mary, she walks up to the tomb. The door is rolled back. And she stoops to look in. And I imagine her reaction. "Wait. Where's Jesus? Did somebody take him? Am I imagining this? Is this real?" Mary didn't know what she had just saw or not saw. She didn't really know what to believe, and I'm sure she needed time to process this, to think things through. And I think we too have to process this ourselves this morning and come to an understanding of what John is trying to convey to us. I mean, what makes the resurrection story true? Have you ever asked yourself this question? How do we know the resurrection is true? Which takes us to our first point. If you think about it, people, our society, and the world at large have been trying to discredit Jesus' resurrection for thousands of years. And yes, there are perhaps the obvious answers or the ones that come quickly to mind. This is the infallible word of God. Perhaps you've heard the resurrection story since a child and you believe its truths. Or because you realize the resurrection authenticates Jesus' ministry or that it validates Old Testament prophecies. But that's a lot. And this was the question I was asking myself as I was studying the word and the passages we just read. So regardless if this is your first time hearing this story or you've heard it countless times, there is no doubt that we all need to understand the truth within this passage, which point us to know the truth of the resurrection. So let's examine these verses a bit closer and see what John is trying to tell us. Now, on the first day of the week, which would have been Sunday, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark. This was about 4 or 5 a.m. and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Some of your copies may say the stone was rolled away. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. And this other disciple is actually thought to be John, the author of this particular book. And she said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we," emphasis on we, so we know there's multiple people here, and we can conclude Mary didn't come up with this on her own. "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've laid him." We know the resurrection is true because of overwhelming evidence, beginning with eyewitness accounts. Not only do we see Mary and the disciples who saw Jesus, according to historical record, after Jesus' death, over 500 people on 12 separate occasions appeared. All but one of the appearances occurring within the first 40-day period following Jesus and his crucifixion. So if we pick up in verse 3, "So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linens, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying there and the face cloth, which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up by itself." The strips of linen, the face cloth. Hopefully you all can see this. Now, these are no ordinary cloths. Yes, these are ordinary because I just got them out the cabinet and I had to ask permission from my wife to make sure I could cut them up. But the cloths we're talking about in this passage, the cloths that John is depicting, he's giving us a special clue. He wants us to know these are not ordinary cloths. These are expensive cloths. And how do we know this? Well, for those of you who were here last week, you'll think back to Pastor John's message where he talked about Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. Joseph of Arimathea was a wealthy man. He was actually a wealthy member of the Jewish ruling council. And so we can conclude that Joseph and Nicodemus buried Jesus in some fine linens. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us that Nicodemus used 75 pounds of myrrh and aloe. These are fine oils. And so one of the theories that people of the world will say to try to discredit the resurrection, they'll say, you know what? Somebody took Jesus out of the tomb. Matter of fact, the apostles, they took him. Well, if I was a robber, and I'm not a robber, but if I was a robber, I'm taking all the expensive stuff. I'm not leaving it behind. No robber is going to leave these expensive cloths lying around. Furthermore, some have tried to say, you know what? Jesus wasn't even really dead. Well, if we back up to chapter 19, a couple of weeks ago, Pastor John recounted for us this immense picture, this vivid illustration of Jesus and everything he went through. I mean, the cat of nine tails, the beatings, the bruising, having to carry a cross. The man Jesus gets put on a cross. The Roman soldiers, just to make sure he was dead, took a spear, shoved it in his side, and the Bible tells us blood and water came rushing out. I don't know about you, but I was dead back when they hit me with the cat of nine tails. And so no earthly man could have survived this. So to say Jesus was dead is preposterous. I mean, these are Roman soldiers we're talking about. Roman soldiers know how to kill people. This wasn't their first crucifixion. So there is no doubt Jesus was dead. We pick back up in verse 8. "Then the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believe. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes." For someone to simply see and believe speaks volumes. Think back to the events leading up to this moment. I mean, I have seen the Lord. For all Jesus went through, all these people working immensely to deny his claims. I mean, you had the beatings, the crucifixion. Jesus was arrested. His enemies surely would have presented the body if somebody had taken it, or if it was elsewhere. They surely would have sent out a mission party to find the body of Jesus. They would have offered a reward. Yet, people believed just at the sight of an empty tomb. For all these reasons, we know the resurrection of Jesus is true. Okay, so we understand why the resurrection is true, but point two, why is my response so important? Why is your response so important? Well, thank you for asking, Greg. I'll tell you why. Because knowing the truth about something is not enough. Many of you have heard the quote, knowledge is power. But it's what you do with that knowledge that gives you power. You have to understand why your response to the message is so important. I mean, this is the message of Easter, which has been celebrated for over 2,000 years. And how you respond to this message is what's really important. It's not really important who you met outside. It's not really important what kind of coffee we had in the lobby. It's really not important what all we have on today. No. How you respond to the truth of Easter is nothing short of a matter of life and death. Your response to the resurrection of Jesus will literally define every aspect of your life, death, and eternity. Your response to the resurrection of Jesus will determine your hope for the future. Think about the disciple who went to the tomb and he saw and he believed. Verse 8, then the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in and he saw and believed. How hopeful is his future now? Look at Mary Magdalene. Verse 17, Jesus said to her, do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples the title of the message, I have seen the Lord, and that he has said these things to her. I guarantee you, church, that their hope, their future, Mary's future, just got a little bit brighter. And it just turned into something they would never have imagined. You all have the opportunity to respond this morning as Mary and the other disciples did. Your response to the resurrection of Jesus will define your perspective of your past. Does anybody here have a past? I know I do. All of us here, myself included, are dealing with sins and past transgressions. Does God give second chances to those who feel like we can't escape our past? Yeah, he does. God did this for Peter. Not too long ago, Simon Peter is dealing with all kinds of mess. I mean, here's a guy, he cuts off the ear of the high priest's servant. He denies Jesus, not once, not twice, but three times. The Bible tells us that Peter failed so miserably that he went out into the night and wept bitterly. If we look at what happens to Peter next, it's truly amazing. John 21, 15 through 17 shows us Jesus took Peter aside to allow him the opportunity to reaffirm his love and commitment to Christ. For those of you this morning who are trying to escape your past, that is the truth for you this morning. Jesus wants to take you aside and give you the opportunity to reaffirm your love for him. How compassionate was the risen Christ to Peter? Your response to the resurrection of Jesus will deliver peace for your present. Does anybody need peace presently? Look at Mary who was in tears in the present moment. Verse 11, but Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. And as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. We see as we continue to read, Mary starts to get more and more peace. Verse 12, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, woman, why are you weeping? And I imagine her cries began to subside. She said to them, they've taken my Lord away, and I don't know where they've laid him. Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. I imagine at this point, her cries are changing to light sniffles. Jesus said to her, woman, why are you weeping? Who are you seeking? Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've laid him. I'll take him away. What Jesus says next is just profound. Jesus just said to her simply, Mary. She turned to him and said in Aramaic, Rabboni. I guarantee you, at that point, her cries subside completely and peace washes over her. Church, God's desire is to take you from where you are right now and bring you to where he wants you to be. Amen. When Jesus found his defeated followers hiding together in an upper room, do you know what his first words to them was? Peace. Church, Jesus wants to give you the same peace, the same word this morning. Your response to the resurrection of Jesus will defy death in your eternity. The resurrection bears witness to the immense power of God. If God created all, he can also overcome death and the grave. 1 Corinthians 54 and 55 says this, when the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Church, who are you looking for this morning? Mary and the disciples were looking for Jesus. Are you looking for people of the world this morning to define your past, your present, and your future? Maybe you're here and you're looking to leaders of other world religions. Like Mary and the disciples, will you look for the only person who has ever been on the other side of death? Church, this is what makes Christianity different from all the other religions. Jesus has transcended death while other men met the grave. Amen. In John 11, 25, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. Because Jesus defeated sin and death, one day those of us who believe will also defeat sin and death. If he isn't resurrected, if you don't respond, if I don't respond, we have no hope. We have no Savior. There's no eternal life, and certainly no resurrection, no salvation. This is why a response to the resurrection of Christ is so important. So, how then does the resurrection apply to my life? How does the resurrection apply to your life today and forevermore? Well, Joel, thank you for asking. Your love, joy, hope, peace, life, death, purpose, meaning, relationships, faith, all hang in the balance on the message of Easter. You can't just get in, get out, and go on with your life after you hear the message of Easter? Mary and the disciples, they didn't just check out the tomb, leave and go on with life. I mean, imagine this. Mary walks up to the tomb. She finds the stone rolled back. Oh, well, that's interesting. The tomb is empty. Okay, well, you know what? I had some clothes to wash anyways, and I got to cook dinner tonight, so I'm going to just get back on. Not even going to tell the disciples. I'm not worried about where Jesus is. Tombs lay empty all the time. No. What did Mary do? She examined the truth of the matter, which we've done this morning. She responded, which is what I'm encouraging each of you to do. And then she went and told others. Church, the word of God guarantees the resurrection of believers at the second coming of Jesus. This knowledge of the resurrection is what enables you, what enables I, to endure persecution and hardships for Christ's sake. This is the day we celebrate Jesus being raised from the dead. Hallelujah, amen. Can I get a hand clap of praise? The love of God displayed in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus for you, for me, for us. This applies to our lives because the resurrection is demonstrated to be true and is what gives us hope. The resurrection is the glorious and triumphant victory for every believer. 1 Corinthians 15:3 through 4 says, "For what I have received, what Wes has received, I passed on to you." I'm passing it on right now. Of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day. The resurrection demonstrates that God accepted Jesus' sacrifice on our behalf. Because of the faith that I have in Christ, my body, your bodies, if you're a believer here today, these bodies, they won't remain dead, but they'll be resurrected to eternal life. You know, there was a time in my life when I was blind like Mary. My family is here this morning, and they can tell you, the person you see up here today is not the person I was 3 years, 5 years, 10 years ago. But when I believed, when I truly believed, and I responded to Christ, when I saw the Lord for who he truly was, church, my life changed forever. The resurrection of Jesus is intensely personal. It's intensely personal, which is why it applies to your life, to my life, today, and always. Church, I'm going to tell you again in case you missed it. If Christ isn't raised from the dead, Christianity is a wash. There's no reason for us to be here this morning. There's no forgiveness of sins, and we have no hope. Prayerfully, you understand the truth of the resurrection more fully today, and furthermore, realize why your response, this Easter message, is so vitally important. By show of hands, has anyone ever heard of Doubting Thomas? Anybody heard of Doubting Thomas? I'm pretty sure there's some Doubting Thomases in this room today. I'm pretty sure it doesn't matter how many songs Josh and the worship team sing. I'm pretty sure it doesn't matter who greeted you at the door and we had a fresh pot of coffee brewing for you. Some of you are in here right now being Doubting Thomas. For those of you who don't know about Thomas, Thomas said he would never believe unless he was able to see and touch Jesus for himself. He'd never believe the resurrection. How many of us are in that state right now? Hey, Wes, you know, nice message. I get what you're saying, but I'm not going to believe because I haven't seen Jesus. I haven't touched him yet. And I'm like Thomas. I'm not about this resurrection life until I can see it and touch it, hold it for myself. Do you know what Jesus told Thomas? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. I asked you all a question this morning. Why did you come to church today? I'll tell you why. To have an opportunity to be a part of the greatest team ever, Team Jesus. And I'll let you in on a little secret, church. The championship has already been won, amen? Jesus has defeated death and conquered sin. Death has been swallowed up in victory, and we can shout, where, O death, is your sting? Where, O death, is your victory? Church, will you see Easter for what it is today? You may have heard the Easter story 1,000 times. Or maybe this is your very first time hearing the story of Easter. Let me tell you something. If you do not rightly respond to this message, you'll leave and walk away unchanged. Jesus does more than give life. Jesus is life. Experience Jesus, church, and you'll experience resurrection. I'm going to have Josh and the worship.